Jesus Messiah, name above all names. And that brings us to the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has set apart for us today. We find it in Luke chapter 2. Turn there in your Bibles if you would. Luke chapter 2 will be on page 724 of the Church Bible, if you are using that one. We're continuing in our series on birth announcements as we explore people who received announcements of the birth of Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today we come to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, although the portion about the shepherds begins with verse 8, we'll back up to verse 1 and begin with there. The word of the Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pause here for just a moment. The word translated inn was probably not a hotel, but a guest room of a house. And Mary and Joseph were staying in a house that had a guest room, but the guest room was likely already occupied by their guests. There was no room for them in the guest room, so Mary and Joseph were staying in the living room. And guess what, kids? In those days, a living room had a manger in it. And so Jesus was laid in the manger, born in the living room, laid in the manger. We pick up where we left off. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That's God's word for this morning. Let's offer up our prayers to the Lord that our hearts might be open to what He has to tell us today. Lord, we ask that as we explore your word, walk through its teaching, that we might indeed experience your word in action, your word in action, transforming our hearts and directing our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One cut diamond has many different facets, and each facet sparkles with its own unique brilliance, contributing to the radiance of the whole diamond. Likewise, the Nativity of Christ has many different facets, each one of which sparkles with its own brilliance, all of which together contribute to the radiance of the whole Christmas story. And we see this diamond with its several different facets in the birth announcement to the shepherds. And so the birth announcement to the shepherds sparkles with the facets of the good news of Jesus. Here's the first facet. The good news is a message for everyone. No one's left out of this message. It's offered to everyone. Verses 8 and 10. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The good news is for all the people. It's a message for everyone. Now, what is this good news? There's an Old Testament prophet who stealthily meanders his way through the pages of the Gospel of Luke. His name is Isaiah. We have to look carefully, but we do see Isaiah throughout the Gospel of Luke. We could probably infer that Isaiah was Dr. Luke's favorite Old Testament prophet. And Luke alludes, when he speaks of good news, to Isaiah's announcement of salvation in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. See if we can match this up with Luke's account. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring what? Good news. Who proclaim peace. Who bring good tidings. Who proclaim salvation. Who say to Zion, "Your God reigns." Now, this one verse from Isaiah saturates the entire angelic message that Luke records in Luke chapter 2. Isaiah speaks of the good news of salvation. In Luke, the angels bring good news of a Savior. What does a Savior do? A Savior brings salvation. In Isaiah, the good news is your God reigns. In Luke, the Savior, who brings salvation, is born in the town of David, Bethlehem. That's significant because David was Old Testament Israel's greatest king, and David received a covenant from the Lord by which not only would he be king, but his dynasty, his royal kingly dynasty, would continue forever and culminate in the birth of great David's greater son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, King of Kings. Indeed, in the birth of Christ, the prophecy of Isaiah 52:7 is fulfilled. Your God reigns. And we see that in where Jesus is born, the royal city of David. Furthermore, the good news in Isaiah 52:7 is a proclamation of peace. And the angels speak, glory to God in the highest and on earth, what? Peace. Alluding back to Isaiah 52:7. Peace to men on whom His favor rests. And so, in Luke chapter 2, the angels bring the shepherds Isaiah's good news of salvation, of the reign of God, and of peace. The whole Bible is really one story. Now, angels are the most exalted beings of creation, and shepherds are the average Joes of ancient culture. And so the good news is a message in which heaven meets and greets the average person. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it's good news for all the people. The good news is a message for all the people, for everyone. And that means you. A Savior has been born to you. It is for you that He left His heavenly throne and came to earth and was laid in a manger. It is for you that He preached the good news of the kingdom of God. It is for you that He was pierced and crushed on that old rugged cross. It is for you that the blood flowed from His hands and His feet. It is for you that He said, "Father, forgive them." It is for you that He cried in His last breath, "It is finished," meaning that He had fully paid the price for your sin. It is for you that He was resurrected in victory from the grave. It is for you that He ascended into heaven, there to sit at the right hand of God, making intercession for all the saints. Yes, indeed, a Savior has been born to you. Amen. Amen. Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him as your Lord and as your Savior? The good news is a message for everyone. A message of salvation for you. Furthermore, another facet in the diamond of the birth announcement to the shepherd is that the good news is an event for today. Not just an event for 2,000 years ago, but an event for today. Verses 10 and 11 of Luke 2. But the angel said to them, the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Savior, Christ, Messiah, Lord, has been born today. Now, the today of the angelic good news to the shepherds is the today of right now. For as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, today is the day of salvation. Even today, Jesus is still the Savior. Even today, He is Christ. Even today, He is Lord. And so even today, Jesus, and only Jesus, is the Savior. Did you notice that Luke mentioned Caesar Augustus in verse 1? Why does Luke do that? Well, he's up to something. He's making a contrast between Caesar Augustus and Jesus, the Savior. You see, the pagan Roman world celebrated the birthday of Augustus as good news of the birth of a Savior. The pagan Roman world considered Augustus to be their Savior, and so they celebrated the birthday of Augustus as the birth of their Savior. And Luke is implying that the good news of a birth of a Savior is not the birth of Caesar Augustus, but the birth of King Jesus, born in the kingly city of Bethlehem. Our culture is very much like that of the ancient Romans. and that we mistakenly put our trust in powerful people to save us. That's what supercharges every political campaign. But only Jesus brings the hope that we long for. Only Jesus brings the change that we need. And only Jesus is the Savior. And that's why people disappoint. But Jesus saves. And that's why we need to trust in Jesus. Furthermore, even today, Jesus and only Jesus is the Christ. The word Christ means Messiah. He's the promised Messiah, the one anointed by the Holy Spirit, as Isaiah records in Isaiah 61, to proclaim the good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. At the birth of the Christ, the Messiah, we see the favor of God. Furthermore, even today, Jesus, and only Jesus, is Lord. Savior, Christ, and Lord. Let's bow to His authority. Let's depend upon His power. How many times do you think you've heard the Christmas story over the course of your life? Why is it that as many times as we've heard the Christmas story, it never grows stale? Why is it that as many times as we've heard the Christmas story, it's always fresh? Because it's an event for today. It's for today. And it is no less true now than it was then. Today has been born to you a Savior. He is Christ, the Lord, today. Not only so, but thirdly, the good news is an amazement for sharing. Verses 15 through 18. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Oh, well, what should we do now? Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were, what? Amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds share the good news. They spread the word, and people are amazed. The day after the first Christmas night, you likely could not walk through the town of David, Bethlehem, without having a shepherd run up to you and shouting, "Have I got good news for you?" What an amazing story. The flocks that the shepherds were tending were likely intended for the sacrificial offerings in the temple at Jerusalem. And so before long, the shepherds would have taken the sheep up to Jerusalem and they would have spread the word there. And so they went to the manger as shepherds. They came from the manger as evangelists. The good news is still an amazement for sharing. A missionary visited a remote village for several months and Quite a number of the villagers put their faith in Christ as their Lord and their Savior. One man even walked for 3 days to the village to hear the gospel. And when the missionary left, he gave everyone in the village a small New Testament. Well, several months later, he visited the village again to see how the new believers were doing. And as he drove away in his jeep, a man came running out of the bush, waving his hands and arms frantically. And so the missionary stopped. And the man asked the missionary, "Could I have another Bible, please?" Well, the missionary recognized him as the man who had walked 3 days the first time he was there a few months back. The missionary asked, "Well, what happened to the Bible I gave you the last time?" And the man showed him a New Testament with only the front and the back cover and just one or two pages between the two covers. The missionary asked, "What happened to it?" The man replied, "Well, I walked 3 days back to my village and I told everyone about this wonderful Christ who could change their lives. And after I would tell them, I tore a page out of my Bible and I gave it to them. How could I keep such a wonderful thing to myself?" the man said. What good news we have between the covers of this book. How can we keep such a wonderful thing to ourselves? The good news is an amazement for sharing. Today, yet another facet sparkles in the angelic announcement of the birth of the Savior to the shepherds. The good news is a treasure for pondering. Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary sets an example for us all. We need to ponder the treasure of the infant Jesus. We need to contemplate the paradox of the Word made flesh. How is it that the infinite and eternal God could be enfleshed in a finite and temporal human body? Contemplate the paradox of the Word made flesh. We need to reflect on the mystery of Emmanuel, not a God far off, but God with us. Augustine pondered the treasure of the infant Jesus and said, "Unspeakably wise, he is wisely speechless." Lancelot Andrews, one of the translators who produced the King James Version of the Bible, contemplated the paradox of the Word made flesh and called the infant Jesus the Word without a word. Lucy Shaw reflects upon the mystery of Emmanuel, God with us, and writes, "Quiet he lies, whose vigor hurled a universe. He sleeps, whose eyelids have not closed before." For us as well, the good news of the birth of Jesus is a treasure for pondering. In all the frenzied of our obligations, when will you take time to be still, to be be quiet before the Lord and to ponder the treasure of the coming of Jesus. One other facet of the diamond to explore this morning. The good news is a reason for worship. A reason for worship. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sings. Heaven and nature sing. Heaven sings in the worship of the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Heaven sings. And nature sings in the worship of the shepherds, who returned glorifying and praising God. Let heaven and nature sing. What the shepherds heard, we still hear today. A Savior has been born to us. He is Christ the Lord. And what the shepherds saw, we see even better. For in that manger we see the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what the shepherds heard, we still hear today. A Savior has been born to us. He is Christ the Lord. Such good news. Such good news. What reason we have to praise and glorify God. And so the good news is a message for you and for me still today. Today, the one who was laid in the manger is still our Savior, our Christ, our Lord. What an amazement for sharing with others. And what a treasure for pondering in our hearts. The King, the Son of the Most High, came down from heaven to become one of us, to walk with us, to show us the Father, to bring the kingdom of God, to die for us, to be raised up for us, to reign over us. What good news! What good news! Good news worthy of eliciting our praise. Let heaven and nature sing. Let the angels and the shepherds praise God. And one day, in heaven, we who have faith in Christ we'll praise God together with the angels of the Lord and all the people of God from every generation and nation. We might as well get a little practice right now.
Amen.